We appreciate the testimonies we've heard tonight. And now we'd like to look at some scriptures. If you have a Bible or somebody by you has a Bible, we want to turn to one of the Gospels, since we're talking to Gospel friends tonight. And so we want to turn to Matthew. And Matthew chapter 10 is the center of our interest. But in order to surround it a little bit and give us understanding, we're going to read starting at the end of chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, and then we'll read about four or five verses. Now, seeing the people, Jesus felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." And then we notice the beginning of chapter 10. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And Jesus sent them out. This was the moment that the 12 disciples, like Peter and John and those other disciples, this is the first time that they actually went out to minister for God. Now we want to look in the middle of this little pass of this chapter, which is a whole chapter about being a disciple and serving the Lord. We want to look at verse 28. Chapter 10, verse 28, and a couple of verses. "Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. For the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." And then if we go to chapter 11, the very next chapter, and go to the very end of that chapter, verse 28, Matthew 11, verse 28. "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." You know, there's in the world today, people who are known and in the news, and people who make the news are generally big shots. People who've made a lot of money, people who are leaders in government, people who've done some kind of big and important things. And for most people, they would say these are the important people of the world. But actually, there's a whole life that goes on under the radar of greatness. There's a lot that goes on, and there's a lot of people who actually are very important to God, even though their names aren't considered in the list of those who are great. And Jesus is one of those people whom most of the world doesn't know much about. They don't really think he is great. It's because he was too loving. He had compassion. We read there at the end of chapter 9 that he looked out on the multitude of people and he started to cry because they looked like sheep that were lost, just wandering around. And he had such a compassion for these sheep. And then we read in chapter 10, even as he's sending out his own disciples, he speaks another little picture of what he sees in people when he says, "Look at the sparrows. You can buy two sparrows for a penny, but God knows all about the sparrows." And then when we went to chapter 11, we read a few verses, and there again, he's appealing and talking to people, small people. People who are weary and heavy laden, who've had a hard day of work or a hard life behind them. And he says, come to me and you'll find rest. Now, such a person like that does not become great in the eyes of this world. And actually, Jesus could have been great in the eyes of this world if he cared more for himself and not so much for others. But you see, Jesus had come to this earth to do something very important. And it's actually even what we heard in the testimonies tonight. It's this. Religion and speaking about God is one of those things that is a very external and mental exercise. Unless God can be internalized into our life and we sense the presence of God. And the difficulty is most people can talk about God or not talk about God, but in either case, they don't sense the presence of God. It's not real to them. In the economy of our life, the times that God usually becomes real to us is a time when we're wandering like a lost sheep, or when we feel discouraged like some kind of unimportant sparrow. Or we've become weak and weary. And then suddenly, reduced by the circumstances of our life, there's the possibility for God to change our life. God so loved the world, he always cared for people like sheep. But how do I make God real to these sheep? And so the story that we call the gospel, even tonight we read the gospel of Matthew, the good news of Matthew, and the whole book of Matthew is about God's plan. And here's what God did. God, who is real, but he's unseen, and he lives in the heaven and also on earth, for God is everywhere. Nevertheless, he can't be seen and known by people. And so what God did was sweep into history by sending his Son. The Son of God, God, came down in human form so that people could see and touch and realize that God just isn't some kind of a force, but a person who cares for sheep, people, sheep. A God who cares for sparrows, people sparrows. A God who cares for everybody who's broken down and who needs help. And Jesus came and in the most amazing way. He was different from anybody who preached before, because everybody preaches, you know, like I'm preaching tonight. But when Jesus preached, he was the answer to the prayer that he taught the disciples to pray. He said, "Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name, thy kingdom come." And wherever Jesus went, here's what happened. Suddenly, you felt the presence of God. His kingdom came. It's like wherever Jesus walked, let's say there was a lame person over here, and Jesus touched that person and healed them. And suddenly people felt, wow, God's here. You know, they were just walking through their life. Who's God? We don't know. I mean, we talk about God. We have religious things we do. We pray. But we don't know. Suddenly God heals somebody. Now we know. We feel God's presence. Or there's a bunch of little poor kids running down the block. And they see Jesus. And they like his white robes. So they start jumping up on him. And everybody says, "Get away, get away, you little nasty kids." Jesus says, no. These are the kids of God's kingdom. Come here, kids. And he scoops up some of those kids and he blesses them. And suddenly the mothers say, wow, this is God's love. Now I can see it, you see. And so Jesus came with the good news of the kingdom. And what was the new good news of the kingdom? Here's what he said. The kingdom is very near. There's just one thing you've got to do to have the kingdom real to you. Do you know what that is? Actually, we would think have faith or believe. But actually, he said, The kingdom is so near. It's like so near you can almost touch it. But there's one thing you've got to do for that kingdom to be real to you. And you know what it is? You've got to become small. You've got to be born again. You've got to be willing to rethink everything. You've got to be willing to become like a child. He says, you know what? In order to come into the kingdom of God, you have to become like a child. You have to be born again. You have to start all over again. You have to be small. And another word for that is you have to repent. You see, because all of us, we walk, including myself, as if God didn't exist. We walk, do our own thing, make our own decisions and everything. And then we get in a lot of trouble and suddenly we call on God. God, please help! But why weren't we praying to God when everything was cool? No, and so Jesus came by, and wherever he came by, what he shared was the love of God. How he cares for people. Now, in chapter 10 of Matthew, which is actually our focus for a couple of minutes, he's getting ready to send out the 12 disciples. And here's the trouble. These 12 disciples are supposed to go out and share the good news about this kingdom. They're supposed to go places and say, the kingdom is very near. Just look in chapter 10. Okay, just look at what they're supposed to say. Let's read verse 6 and verse 7 and verse 8. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is very near. And then heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out the demons. Freely you received, freely give. That's what Jesus told these 12 disciples. Now, it's easy to walk along with Jesus. If Jesus were here, you would probably be walking along with him. Because maybe he'd give you some bread. Do a miracle. Make some bread out of a little piece of bread. Make a big Italian loaf. I don't know. Or maybe if you were sick, he would heal you, so you're following. Or maybe you just want to know more about him, so you're following. But what if he turned to you and said, now I want you to go speak about the kingdom of love. So he told the disciples to go and tell everybody the kingdom is near. But the disciples were afraid. Why were they afraid? Because they're just sparrows. They're just sheep. And Jesus is trying to make them into something more than just sheep and sparrows. How's he going to do that? How's he going to change somebody's life? We're all chickens. We're all sparrows. We're all sheep. We're all weary. How is he going to make those 12 disciples men who have power to love people? How are they going to heal the sick anyway? He says, now, when you go out, heal the sick. All right, how about if I said to you, hey, you, go on out, heal the sick. You got some drugs? See, Peter had no more power than you or I. Now, how is he going to do this? There has to be an internalization. Something has to come inside of us to make us able to do these things. And how is Jesus going to get that done? Well, right here in this chapter 10, he's trying to encourage his disciples. He says, there again, let's look in chapter 10, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't fear, you're more valuable than many sparrows. He's telling his disciples, you're like sparrows. Now, sparrows are very interesting birds, you know. Which bird has the largest population in the world? Now, don't say Chinese bird. I'm talking about birds. Right, sparrows. The highest bird population in the world of all birds is sparrows. Many sparrows. That's why they're 2 for 1 penny. They're cheap. Special bargain just for you. two for one penny. Many, many sparrows. Now, you know what? That's probably their greatest strength. Because they gather around. I don't know if you noticed, but sparrows always go around in a little flock, a very disturbing little flock. They go into two trees, and then they go over to another tree. They have a big family. Sparrow family, usually like 40 to 50. Now, they need that big family. You know why? Because sparrows can't fight. They're crummy fighters. Just like these two boys who spoke tonight the testimony. You know? Look at them. Anybody could beat them up. They're just sparrows. And sparrows are just sparrows. You know, I mean, they have no, you know, their bill is too small. You know, beep, 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 beep. If he pecks, you know, the big bad bird just jokes and eats them up. The only hope they have is that they can, that 50 of them go, fly around, try to scare off the bad guys. That's their only hope. Big flock always going around. Now, another thing, sparrows are good. Now, you see, because, you know, in China, you know, there used to be a lot of sparrows. I don't know. Did they eat them all? I don't know. are there a lot of sparrows in China? I think. Huh? Yeah, well, there should be. Well, but here's another reason sparrows are Chinese. They work, 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 work all day long. Sparrows are obsessive compulsive to build a nest. That's all they do, build a nest, build a nest, build a nest. They always go out, oh, look, I bought this piece of thread. I got it for a good deal. Put it in the nest. All the time, building nest, building nest, building nest, building nest. This is what they do. They're crazy. They fly around a lot. They build a nest. They lay some eggs. Then, they die. This is why they're two for one penny. And when all is said and done, nobody misses the sparrows. Why? Because there's so many of them, first of all. But you know what? The sparrows have one problem. Inferiority complex. You know why? Did you ever see somebody say, hey, look at the pretty sparrow? No way. Because sparrows aren't pretty. They're just, you know, that dumb kind of brown color. You know, none of them look pretty. Oh, for pretty sparrows. No, there's no pretty sparrow. Now, did you ever hear somebody say, wait, shh, shh, listen, the sparrow is singing. Ah, because sparrows can't sing. I mean, we have five sparrows up here tonight singing. No, no. Now, of course, I'm only joking. But the sparrow is not talented. They don't have the... You know how people say, oh, I want to go out at night just to hear the nightingale sing in the square. You never hear somebody say, I'm going to hear a sparrow sing. If you hear that, take them immediately to the hospital for treatment. Because there's no song. And I mean, when all is said and done, the poor sparrow, they don't even taste good. You know, I mean... Actually, back in the Jesus days, you know, the really, really, really poor people still ate them. That's why they were two for a penny. I mean, they didn't take them to take them home because they were beautiful. They took them home to eat them. But they weren't very tasty. Of no value at all. But here's what Jesus said to his disciples. He says, you know something? God, your Father, knows exactly who you are. And when a sparrow falls to the ground, he knows about every sparrow that falls. And then he said, and you know something? Regardless of how you evaluate your life, you're worth much more than many sparrows. You know, God really loves you. I didn't know that till I was 20 years old myself. I used to spit in the face of God. I used to mock about him, laugh about him, and use his name all the time and cursing, you know. I didn't know who he was. And yet, you know what? That didn't change the fact that he loved me. If I was too stupid to know that he loved me, that's my problem, but he loved me. And he actually knew about my life even before I knew him. And this is what Jesus is trying to say to those disciples. He says, you know something? I know you guys are afraid to go out. I know you guys are afraid to tell everybody the good news. Because when you tell the good news, there's a problem. Now, could you just imagine yourself for a moment? Let's say you and a couple of friends, you started going out and you had the power to do what he says here. First, you preached the kingdom of heaven is very near. And then you healed the sick and you raised the dead and you cleansed the lepers and you cast out the demons. Now, you should go around and be very popular, right? Well, that's what Jesus did. And they've been watching Jesus do that for more than a year. And you know what happened? People started spitting at Jesus. And people started wanting to kill Jesus. You know why? Because he healed people and helped people. It's a very strange thing. Well, it actually has a little more to do than just that. Of course, he did heal people and help people, but you know what he also said? If you really want to know God, then you also have to start, you have to become honest about yourself. And you are somebody who needs help. And God can't help you unless you know you need help. And this world is spending $1 billion a day to try to pretend I'm okay when I'm actually hurting. Whether it's drugs, whether it's cosmetics, whether it's cosmetic surgery, whether it's I can do anything I want. Yes, I can do anything. All I got to do is say I'm going to do it. I can do it. I can do it. I'm good. I'm the best. I'm number one. That's me. Yes, sir. I am good. Yes, I'm great. And then you realize you stink at that. You see, the reason Jesus got into trouble when he shared about the kingdom being very near is he said, but if you want to enter into the kingdom, you have to admit you got nothing. You're just a sparrow. And so he told his own disciples that. And in the gospel, he tells us that tonight. But it's not good enough just to know that you're a sparrow. Still, we're not answering the question. How can he change our lives and make us an eagle like he was? See, he walked on this earth. He was a man. But you know what? He walked a lot different than we did because there was something different in him. He had this life inside of him. This life that came from heaven that made him able to heal and to help, but also to tell the truth and to live the truth. And so Jesus came down to this earth, and after walking around for 3.5 years with this group of disciples, and teaching them things regarding the kingdom of God and the nearness of God and the presence of God, Jesus said to his disciples one day, now you guys keep going. I have to go to Jerusalem because I got to do something. I have to become a sparrow. I'm going to go to the cross in Jerusalem and I'm going to die. They're going to kill me. The disciples said, no, don't let him kill you. Jesus said, I have to do this. Unless I become a sparrow, you can never become an eagle. And that's what he did. He went down to Jerusalem, and even though he was the Son of God, he let people spit on him, and they did. And they beat him up, and they did. And they stripped him and humiliated him, and they did. They stuck him up on a cross, and he suffered, and he cried, and he yelped. And he did. And he became a sparrow, just like the rest of us. A sparrow fallen from the ground. But don't forget what it says. There's not a sparrow that falls to the ground, but the Father knows about him. And then when Jesus died, they put him in the tomb, as you always do when somebody dies. But of course, the good news is, 3 days later, he rose up. An eagle forever. A sparrow forever. And now we are able to be changed. And here is how we're changed. Every time a sparrow falls out of the sky, the Father knows about it. Now, the sparrow doesn't just fall out of the sky when he's ready to die. We know that that will come. But the sparrows fall out of the sky for a lot of different reasons. Sometimes they just are flying and they get exhausted. Sometimes the enemy attacks them and clips one of their wings. And of course, flying with one wing doesn't work. And they fall to the ground. Sometimes they go flying into a glass window because they're stupid. And they collapse to the ground. There's all kinds of reasons that they fall to the ground. But it's at that time that you can meet the Heavenly Father that Jesus is talking about. You know, there's a difference between Jesus and all the other men who've come to this earth to preach about God. And you know what it is? Jesus is the only one who said, I want you to understand something. God is your Father. Many religions preach about God and they say God is a lot of different things. An elephant, a monkey, a crystal, a rock, an idol. Jesus said, God's your Father. And He knows when you fall down. He knows when your wings got clipped. He knows when you've fallen from exhaustion. He knows when you made a mistake or smacked into the window or somehow got attacked and you're laying on the ground and you're wounded. And He knows that. And if you'll come to Him at that moment, God comes inside of you. You come to Jesus and say, Jesus, please come into my life. And it's like the very presence of God comes down into your life. Do you know that God is right here, right now? And some people who have felt the love of God can feel His presence here. Some people, they can't. It depends how close you are to the ground. How near you are to being a sparrow. And you got this chance during this lifetime. You make mistakes. Titus shared about mistakes he made going to college and everything. But you see, when you acknowledge your mistake, that's when God can do something. And it's when we acknowledge our mistake and who we are and that we're a sparrow and we need help that we come to Jesus and say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, help me. I want to be in your kingdom. And He lifts us up and gives us life to go on. Now, here's the catch. You only have this lifetime to come to God the Father. And you come through Jesus, who became a sparrow on your behalf. There comes a time when you will fall to the ground for the last time. You'll die. And then it's too late. And every person in this room, every man, every woman, every young person in this room, you're going to die one day. That's guaranteed. One day out of the sky, you're going to come falling down. And it's all over. But you've got now to begin to live in a kingdom, to begin to find somebody in your life who gives you direction in your life, to find this God who can come into your life and make you a healer and a helper and a teacher of truth to other people. When you find out that God's eye really is on you, that He really loves you. You know, there's a wonderful black man who wrote a song almost 100 years ago from this very verse. And he was talking about what happened when he got saved. You know what he said? I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. And His eye is on the sparrow. So I know He watches me. And that black man who just got out of slavery, he found out that even out of slavery, he's still a slave until he came to Jesus and found the loving Father and found that he was a happy sparrow because he knew God's eye was on him. Now, you're here tonight and you're visiting with us, and I wish there was more we could do, more we could say. But this I know. God is nearer to you than you realize. He sent Jesus down to target you and I. And to help us to understand that there's more to life than just all this scurrying around that we're doing as a bunch of sparrows, just building nests and running around, and it's all for nothing. Until we come to Jesus. I got saved. I came to Jesus as a broken sparrow when I was 20 years old. And it turned out I was the first in the chain of my family. You know, I came from a family. We come from New York. So I was saved first. Then my mother was saved. Now, she was an opera singer in the Metropolitan Opera in New York. So she was a very important woman. But when she got saved, you know what she said? She said, "All my life I've been singing for people. And now at last, I can sing for God." And you know, she only lived 10 years after she got saved as a sparrow. She was saved at 46 years old. She died at 56. 10 years more she lived before she fell to the ground. She was a happy sparrow. But you know who really touched me? It was my dad. My dad's a Harvard man, and he was a psychiatrist in New York. And when my dad was saved, he had a profound change in his life. He said, "You know, all my life I've been trying to help people as a psychiatrist, trying to help people, but I've been so discouraged, and I just felt like it's just hardly worth it. You know, you just work so hard and try to help people, and such a difficult thing." Then I came to God the Father, and I really started helping people. For God's sake, I became one of God's disciples and went around healing and helping. What a difference it makes. My dad's job didn't change. He kept on being a psychiatrist, but you know something? His job totally changed. I remember him saying after supper, you know, he said, "Dana, come on over here. Please, help me. I got to pray for my next patient. I got a tough patient at 7 o'clock. They've been going through depression on and off for years." Oh, I could tell you stories. You know, our problem is because your parents and everybody spoiled you so bad, you think you're something bigger than a sparrow. Over the last 4 years, I've gone to Russia a number of times, and I go into Siberia. And there I meet a lot of poor people. And unfortunately, the young people there are, many of them, heroin addicts, and the adults, most of them, are vodka-drinking alcoholics. It's a very difficult thing. But you know what I've seen even over the 4 years I've come back? I remember a guy named Michael. And actually, they found him in a government building. See, in Russia, what they do is to heat the city, they make these huge steam pipes. They're bigger than this. I don't know. They must be 6 feet in diameter. So huge steam pipes. And they go above ground all through the city. Then they go into that building. Then they go out of that building to the next building. These big pipes like this. And they found a homeless guy who was an alcoholic. And he was living in the wintertime down in the basement by one of these pipes. He started giving him some food. That was 4 years ago. Last time I saw him, he's now one of the pastors going out and finding homeless people. Been completely changed. He's not an alcoholic now. His whole life, he's a happy sparrow. And he goes out to these places because he knows the places where you can find where the homeless people are hiding. And there's thousands of people hiding. In the city that I go to, there's 750,000 people living there. And there's some 13 to 15,000 homeless people. And when it's 40 degrees below zero, you find a place where there's warmth or you die. Now he goes around and helps those people. There's a sister, Sveta, you know, because so many people took heroin, I don't know if you know this, but Afghanistan and Russia used to be buddies before Afghanistan, you know, cut away. And because Afghanistan and Russia were buddies, you know what? Cheap heroin. You can take a shot of heroin for under a buck. Now, no more relationship. Now it's back to the $20 a pop. But all the young generations, all heroin. And unfortunately, because they're all heroin addicts and they intravenously feed, so now epidemic HIV among young people. Sveta, she works in a rehab center. She's such a happy sparrow. I went to Russia, I played my guitar, I left my guitar with Sveta. She plays guitar in the rehab center and she helps out the girls who come in there and need rehabilitation. She has HIV. And she knows she's going to die. But she's serving God. Imagine that. She's found a purpose in her life, and her life's only going to be a couple of years long. You're just a sparrow. I'm just a sparrow. Why don't you admit it? You know, without God, you're going to seriously screw up. You're going to make a mess of your life. You can make $1 million, but you'll make a mess of your life. You can make wrong decisions and get divorced and do this and that and the other thing. You can make such a mess out of your life. Or you can come to God the Father and say, I'm just a sparrow. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Help me. Help me straighten out my life. Help me find out what you want for my life. Can you sing because you're happy? Sing because you're free? Because you know God knows you by name, everything about you. He wants you to come to Himself. I come to you as just a messenger, and that's my message. But let's have a moment of prayer before we end, so we can close our eyes and think about these things without looking around at our friends and all of that kind of stuff that distracts us sometimes from God wanting to speak to us. God is nearer than your heart. God is nearer than your mouth. God is waiting for you to ask for help. God doesn't push anybody around. He's not going to force you to do anything. But perhaps even tonight you can sense His presence right on top of you. Maybe you feel your heart beating a little fast. Maybe you know that God is here for you. And if you sense that God is here for you tonight, and you want to acknowledge that you're just a sparrow, these transactions take place in your heart. That's where faith is born. And it's in your heart, deep in your life, even deeper than your mind's doubts and fears. You should say something like this. You can repeat silently after me as I pray a little prayer. This is what I'm saying. God, I come to you, and I see that I need help. God, I come to you, and I thank you that Jesus became a sparrow for me. Thank you that He suffered the pain so that I might learn how to live. And I come to Him now as my Lord. Oh, God, help me. Help me. I'm just a sparrow. I come to you tonight. I want you to lead me in my life. Lord, we continue to pray. We pray for everybody in this room. Your loving hands so near. You're not wanting to cheat anybody, steal from anybody, get anything out of anybody. You have everything. You just want to give your Son. I want to pray tonight in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. God, give Jesus to someone here tonight. Give your beloved Son to somebody who's wanting Him, needing Him, even here tonight. Now, while we continue to pray, everybody has their eyes closed and you're praying, but I'm standing here because I'd just like to see if you've asked Jesus to be your Lord tonight, if you'd raise your hand so that I could see you. People around you are praying. They're not seeing. Raise your hand so I can see. Okay, I see your hand. Some others? Okay. All right, I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand tonight. Is there others? Now, don't look around. This isn't time to look around. It's a time for you to look into your heart. Did you ask Jesus to be your Lord tonight? Lord, I thank you for many timid sparrows that are here. These aren't big people, they're just us. Lord, we're in this world under the radar. We're not in the news. We're not big shots. But I pray that we could be your children, your sheep. Oh, Lord, I pray that you help everybody here to sense your love upon them. That we could know how wonderful is your love, how healing is your love. How you can change our lives by the power of your life in us. Oh, give us this good news. Make it real to us. Not just words on the outside, but life on the inside. By a miracle of salvation tonight, speak to our gospel friends. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.